You may be seated. That was a sermon in itself, beautiful music. Let us pray.
God, may the words of my mouth and all of our thoughts and our hearts
be open to the way in which you would speak to us today. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How are we doing with our soul shifts? We've got a few weeks left. Kids, are you doing your bingo pages? There's some more back out on the table. Is anyone working on those memory verses? Fall, my favorite time of year, is coming up. I love living in the Midwest with four seasons. Getting to see the changing colors of the trees and the crisp fall air. And what a great time for us to remember God's presence because of all of God's beautiful handiwork around us. So if you haven't been thinking about change, you're going to see it, and that will be the perfect time to keep working on these soul shifts. When I was thinking about pausing to listen, and our shift of ask to listen, I was reminded of times where I've been forced to stop the business of my everyday routine because of bed rest after an operation or laid up because of a problem with my foot. Those pauses allowed for some great self-reflection and self-discovery, time with God, time to reflect on where I was at that current time in my life and if I needed to change directions in any way. And then last week, something happened to me that I had never experienced before. I got a mild concussion. And I learned that concussions, I didn't think they were, but they are definitely no laughing matter. But the way in which I got it was a way to provide comedic relief for the week as I healed. I decided at the last minute to get one of my two youngest kids out instead of the other one first. And I forgot that in the meantime, my automatic trunk of my van, I had gotten something out of there, and I forgot it was closing. The beeping reminder, I just had put that out of my head, and I walked straight into the middle of the van coming down. So, yes, it did hurt, and that was another time I was forced to rest and heal, but this time I couldn't keep busy with reading books, or watching Netflix, or being on my phone, or even really having light in the room. If you would have walked into my office a couple of times this week, I had sunglasses on, or the lights were off. So this time, I had to exist in the quiet. I was so unused to this that while I was in the ER, my husband said, "Hey, Jen, sit still. My foot was tapping." Okay, that is how unstill I could sit. So I want to say to you this morning that I had so much time with God, that I listened so much, and that I really conquered this ask to listen movement that we're going to explore this morning. But I became aware that this is an area I really need to work on. I must confess that I was asking a lot of questions this week, mostly wondering when I would be better so that I could get back to everything that makes my life busy and noisy instead of being still in the presence of God. In our scripture for today, Samuel also asks a lot of questions. We're told in verse 7 that he still did not know the Lord and that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel hears his name being called and thinks time and time again that Eli is calling for him. And Eli finally realizes what is happening after Samuel comes to him a third time and instructs Samuel to respond to his name with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Samuel is demonstrating an important lesson for us here. We must move from asking others to listening to God. Think about the last big decision that you made. How'd you make it? Who helped you? What part did God have in helping you decide? In the Soul Shift book, there is a great story that demonstrates this point of listening to God first. It's about Earl and his wife, who were looking to move on to the next chapter of their lives, but finances were holding them back. One of his high school buddies contacted him and owned a business and invited Earl to be a part of his success. They started sharing this idea with their friends and their family, all of whom had different thoughts on the matter. This opportunity would require them to move from their hometown and from their sense of security. After hearing a sermon about taking time to be alone with God, he spent a Saturday and did just that. He found it to be powerful and refreshing and unexpected. At the end of the day, Earl went home and told his wife that they should step out in faith and move to Ohio. He was expecting her to burst into tears because everyone else had told them not to go. But instead, she said that in her morning devotions, she had the exact same leading. She was praying that God would say the same thing clearly to Earl if he really wanted them to move. So they set off after listening to God's voice in their lives and started over again in another place. And that's not the end of that great story. So I'd invite you and encourage you, if you haven't read that part yet in the book or you don't have the book yet, that you should go and finish reading that. It was great. Earl and his wife learned to listen to God first, and that what God told them might not necessarily be what everyone else was telling them. Discerning God's voice can be difficult, can't it? The authors of this book give us some guidelines for how to separate God's voice from our own voice. First, when God speaks, it is always consistent with God's word and nature. God is constant and perfect and would never, ever call us to do anything less than that. Second, God's voice is also consistent with the way that we tend to function. So my husband, John, he takes 3 days to make a decision. He doesn't count it, but that's just how his cycle of making a decision works. So I know that if I have something important to talk to him about, I better give it 3 days. So God would probably give John 3 days and not throw it at him in a moment's notice to make a decision. God might also speak to us through our circumstances or may speak to us through our impulses. When we listen for God, we're probably not going to hear God in a burning bush or hear the calling of our name. And some of us will, but we're most likely to hear God in a still, small voice. It takes practice to hear the voice of God and to feel the nudge of the Spirit. There's many tools to help us to practice listening to God and many different types of prayer that help us connect in various ways to God. One of the practices that I enjoy is called Lectio Divina. That's Latin for divine reading. You read or listen to a passage a few times and listen for what God is saying to you through that passage. So we're going to try that this morning. You can take out the Bibles if you want, or you can just listen to me read it. We're going to turn to Psalm 13. I'm using NRSV, but you can follow along with any version. You might also want something to write with. And on the back of your bulletin is a place for sermon notes. That would be a great spot to write some of these notes. So the first time that I read Psalm 13, we're just going to listen to it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because God has dealt bountifully with me. And as you would go through each of these times, you might take a moment for extra long silence, for time for prayer. And you might read it more than the couple more times we're going to read it today. So this time, as I read it, I want you to listen or read for the word or the phrase that sticks out to you as I go through it. And if you need to separate yourself from all of the visual distractions, feel free to close your eyes too. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because God has dealt bountifully with me. Now go ahead and write down the word or the phrase that stood out to you. You could even draw a picture instead. I'm going to read it one final time. And this time, following the reading, we'll spend some time in silent prayer and reflection, listening to God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because God has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. I would encourage you this week to share with your small group or someone in your life about your experience with this prayer practice and this particular scripture. At another time when I went through this scripture on my own, this is how I experienced God speaking to me. The The psalmist was making requests from God, but instead I heard instructions from God. Consider and answer. Trust in love. Give light and rejoice in salvation. Light was a strong word to me in that, and light was shed on the statement that God has dealt bountifully with me. I kept hearing that how long at first, but then those instructions overpowered that so that I wasn't stuck. When I read this passage, it was during a time where I needed the confidence that was given to me by God through this passage and my time in prayer with God. This might also be a practice that you use in your 30 minutes during our prayer vigil. Being quiet before God isn't something that's easy. It takes a lot of practice to silence the noise in the world around us and in our own minds. How could you restructure your quiet time for God to more clearly be revealed to you? God speaks to us in a variety of ways. No matter which way God chooses to speak to us, there's only one answer that we should give. Yes. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Jesus is asking us to make a transition in our faith from an external voice to an internal voice, from asking someone outside to asking the Spirit who is inside, from asking for advice to listening for an impulse, from being taught to being led, from obedience to discernment, from ask to listen. Speak, Lord, your child is listening. What will happen in our lives when we first listen to God? Can you imagine what can happen in our church and in our community if we listen to God first? God is speaking to us. Are we ready to listen? My prayer for you this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. May your love overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen.